Our Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Peace. We know this incredibly well. In the entrance to any feast, any of the great feasts, we enter saying, O King of Peace, grant us your peace. Render unto us your peace. In the entrance to a wedding, we say the same prayer. In one of the psalms that we pray in the third hour of the Agbeya, it says, in the midst of kingdoms tottering, in the midst of kingdoms falling down, in the midst of war, be still and know that I am God. And we have here, in this passage from the Gospel according to St. John, the first line, let not your heart be troubled. And where else do we hear this? We hear this in the Gospel in the third hour of the Agbeya, where it begins, but the comfort of the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name has come. He shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so often during this period of time, after the Lord's resurrection, when he appears to his disciples, he says, peace, peace be upon you. So we know incredibly well that the Lord is the King of Peace. But if you reflect upon your life, we all reflect upon our lives, we don't live as though the Lord is the King of Peace. We live, and Rum has touched upon this last week, we live working very hard, stressed, worried. We live in fear. We live in uncertainty. We may live with feelings of hatred toward another. We may live in constant anxiety about a new job or about a family member. But constantly we're worried. Constantly, we don't heed the message in that psalm, be still and know that I am God. But if we don't live according to our belief, according to our faith, that our Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Peace, then we deny the efficacy of the resurrection. We deny the efficacy of his taking our flesh and his all his salvific work. If we don't live according to our faith, then we make it as though we're denying from ourselves all of his gifts. It's not sufficient merely to profess our belief that the Lord is the King of Peace. It's not sufficient merely to understand it as a concept. We have to live according to that idea. We have to experience it for ourselves. One of the ways in which we can do this is to understand the way in which God is our Father. This passage that we've prayed is incredibly rich and has so many theological implications, but in it the Lord talks, just the next line after let not your heart be troubled is you believe in God, that is God the Father, believe also in me. And it's incredible that we are able to call God, the God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of all the heavenly beings. It's amazing that we can call him Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ, wearing our flesh, addresses his Father as Abba Father. And when he addresses him as Abba, it's like a little child looking to his father and saying, Daddy. It's that close of a relationship. And the Lord says this wearing our flesh. And so one of the things we have to understand is that our prayers are not just ritualistic mantras. Our prayers are not just an adherence to a formula. In fact, in the introduction to the Paradise of the Fathers, the English translation by E.A. Wallace Budge, the introduction is about, a part of the introductions is about, you know, ancient Egyptian religion and the way in which the similarities or the ripeness of the Egyptian soil for Christianity to come in. But he says, you know, they adhered to ritualistic formula, and this was kind of the way by which they practiced their faith. But one thing they did not have that the monks and that Christianity brought was faith, hope, and love. That was something completely lacking. Faith, hope, and love. And so we have to understand that when we're thinking about our relationship to God, we have to think of Him as our Father. We have to think of Him as a little child does when he's walking in the street with his father and he lifts up his hand completely blindly, without thought, with the utmost expectation that his father's hand will be there. That at any time of the day, he will lift up his arms and expect and be certain that his father will carry him. That although the child, when he goes to school, may put on a show and act like the tough guy, yet in front of his father in his home, he'll be completely honest. He'll shed whatever tears that he had, whatever he felt bad about doing, whatever insecurity he may have had, whatever petition he may have. In front of his father at home, he'll be open. And so we have to think about our relationship to God in this way. But there's one caveat. The only begotten Son of the Father is our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the only way in which we can address the Lord God Almighty as our Father is if we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are in Christ. If we have put Him on in baptism. If we live according to His commandments. In the gospel that we pray during Matins, also according to St. John, it's written that as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And so, we have to understand that we must be in Christ, we must follow His commandments in order to have the privilege, the opportunity to address the Lord God Almighty as our Father. When we talk about the Lord's peace, we can't think about it also as an escape. It's not an escape from the trials and the tribulations that we experience in the world. It's not an escape from the hatred. It's not an escape from the disharmony, from the discord, from any of the things that are bad that we experience here. It's not an escape. And it's peace in spite of that, in spite of the hatred, in spite of the disharmony, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of anxiety. It's peace in spite of all those things. And one of the meditations that I heard on this subject came out of that passage from the gospel where the Lord, or where the disciples are in a boat and they are beset by a tempest. And the Lord appears to them and says, "It is I, do not be afraid." And the meditation goes that, you know, they were in a boat. And you can think of your soul as a boat. And the boat is meant to float upon the water. It isn't meant to be taken away from the water. It isn't meant to live in isolation apart from the depth and the mystery and the storminess and the uncertainty of the ocean. It's built to float upon the water. The problem comes when the water enters the boat. Then the boat capsizes. But the boat was meant to be on the ocean. And so we learn from this that the problem is not the fact that we exist in the world with all of its troubles. The problem is that we allow the world to enter in and to infect. The problem is that we allow the world to enter in and so therefore leave no more room for He who is the King of Peace. We leave no more room in our soul for the Lord Jesus Christ to take His abode. We don't adorn our soul as though it were His temple. But rather we open it up to all of the troubles, all of the cares. But the Lord offers us His peace, even in the midst of the tempest. Because He says, "It is I, do not be afraid." All we have to do is allow Him to enter in. And it is in the face of these troubles, it is in the face of suffering, that we get stronger anyway. And so we shouldn't expect that all of the trouble around us is going to be taken away. But we should pray and expect that the Lord will dwell within us, allow us to be at peace despite the problems, and understand that if we are to go through the troubles with love and interact with those who may be antagonistic towards us with love, then we get stronger. St. John Chrysostom also comments on this passage that, you know, context is incredibly important here. Because we get this first line, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." But we have to then understand what happened right before this. Right before this was the dialogue between the Lord Jesus Christ and St. Peter, where He assures St. Peter that He will deny Him. And so right after the Lord looks at St. Peter, as St. John Chrysostom says, the head of their band, that is, the most outspoken of the apostles, He looks at, as it were, their leader, and says, "You will deny me." But then right after that, He says, "But let not your heart be troubled." And the idea behind that is, look, no matter what we do, again, we believe in God, that is God the Father Almighty. We can go to Him as our Father again. And of course we have the well-known example of the prodigal son where the father runs out to meet his child who lived completely prodigally, who looked upon his father and said, "You're dead to me, give me my inheritance now so that I can go live according to my want." And so we have to understand that as well. That though we may fall, though we may betray our Father even, yet He assures us to let not our heart be troubled. Because we have a way back. We have a way back. We have a way to repent. We have confession. We have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which we will now partake for the forgiveness of sins. And so let us always pray for the Lord's peace and always allow Him to enter in, to make His abode, and to allow us to experience His peace. Glory be to God. Amen.